The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of Talk 1230 WYTS, its staff, management, or parent company, Clear Channel. Time now for Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 WYTS with Dr. Brian Kivitko. Call 821-1230. That's 821-1230 to discuss your dental issues. Now here's Dr. Kivitko on Talk 1230 WYTS.
Talk 1230 WYTS. Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kivitko, affectionately known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry but were too numb to ask. Hello, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kivitko. Today we are going to be talking about fear of the dentist and fear of dentistry in general. If you have a comment, we'd love to hear from you. Call us at 821-1230. That's 821-1230. You can also send us an email to dentallyspeaking on talk1230 at yahoo.com. That's Dentally Speaking on Talk1230 at yahoo.com. So how did we get to the point where people fear the dentist? Does dentistry really hurt, or is it just a perception that's been passed down from parent to child over the years? How has our perception of a visit to the dentist? Is it the dentistry that hurts, or is it the neglecting of our teeth and gums, which lead to pain and swelling, which we then blame on dentists? Meaning, is the cure really worse than the disease? Why would a person be so willing to have a God-given body part removed rather than having it cured? And why does tooth pain seem to be the worst pain there is to endure? Well, I think that to start this off, we need to think about what happens when we're children. When we're, say, two years old, two and a half, three, and that's about the time that parents typically bring a child to the dentist for the first time. Well, what happens is parents who have this fear themselves of going to the dentist, they want to do the right thing or what they think is the right thing by preparing their child for the visit. So they'll say things to their little boy or little girl, things like, well, don't worry, Johnny, it's not going to hurt. And they spend maybe a month or two preparing them for this visit. And for the parents that don't do that, parents that just let their child come in and we take care of them, we treat them, and at the end of their visit, when they go out to see mom or dad for the first time, mom or dad will say, did it hurt? And of course, the little child didn't really expect that it was going to hurt until somebody kind of put that idea in their mind. Now, when you take your child to the barbershop for their first haircut, it's an event that you typically take a camera, want to get a picture of that first haircut, put it in their baby book, and at no time does anybody say, don't worry, Johnny, this isn't going to hurt. So, you know, think about what we're doing with our children when we do that. And these are very, very well-meaning parents who... Obviously, all parents think they know best for what's best for their child. Now, when we talk about pop culture and how it affects dentistry, what happens is the adults out there, which that would be the parents, you know, we're inundated with things like negative images of dentists and dentistry. Examples would be the movie Hollywood movies like Marathon Man, Little Shop of Horrors, The Dentist, and even Finding Nemo. And let me explain. Many of you have seen Marathon Man, but for those of you who haven't, Dustin Hoffman plays a secret agent, and he gets caught, and the government that catches him wants to know if their agent has been compromised. And so they have him tied to a chair, and they want to know, is it safe? Is it safe for our agent? And he doesn't really know. When he answers, I don't know, they think he's lying, and they have a dentist drill a hole right through his lower front tooth. And when they ask him again and he still doesn't know, they do it again. Now, well, that image is pretty vivid. And in fact, somebody sent me that clip back when the movie was relatively new. Little Shop of Horrors, you know, the one with Steve Martin and Bill Murray. Steve Martin enjoys hurting his patients. The Dentist is a movie where the dentist was killing his patients. And then Finding Nemo, this one is especially concerning to me because it's a Disney movie. And obviously there are going to be lots of children watching it. And for those of you that didn't see Finding Nemo or don't know what I'm referring to, Nemo is a little clownfish, and he swims off away from his father, who's a single parent at the time, and goes off to an area that he says isn't safe. And sure enough, Nemo gets picked up by a fisherman who scoops him up out of the water. He's going to bring him home to give to his niece to put in her fishbowl. So what he does is he takes him to his office. It turns out this fisherman is a dentist. So they all live in a dental office. And it's pretty cute when the morning would start and the dentist and his assistant come in for the these fish all line up at the edge of the glass and they go, what are they going to do today? What are they going to do today? Oh, a root canal. Okay. That looks interesting. And, so this banter that goes on is all about dentistry. And that was pretty neat. But then, what happens when the little girl is in the chair? She is being hurt by the dentist. She's moaning. There's sweat coming off of her brow. And she's kind of jerking around in the chair, basically trying to get away. And I was pretty disappointed by that Disney, great opportunity to kind of dispel this myth. And we're going to talk a little later about whether it's really a myth or not, because I'm sure there are some people who don't think it's a myth. But anyway, Disney had a chance to do a better job for the kids, and they didn't. They went with that old stereotype. Now, when it comes to kids, there was an article in the Columbus Dispatch about 2 weeks ago, written by Kevin Maywood. It was about a study that was done in Ireland. And it starts off by saying, children who squirm through Novocaine shots and the whir of the dentist drill one day might find relief from across the Atlantic. Well, what they're talking about is, in Scotland, rather than trying to figure out a way to do a better job for the children so that they're not squirming and not feeling it, they came up with this plan that they would just take and put chrome crowns right over top of a decayed tooth. Just put the crown right over it. Don't even take the decay out. And they were studying to see whether it was effective and just, you know, how would it work. Now, what they're saying is that it works as good as putting a filling in, but we in the United States don't tend to buy that. We've seen what happens when decay is left unchecked. The other thing is, I was listening to the radio a week or so ago, and I heard a commercial, and it was put on by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, which obviously is our government, and it was a commercial to try to get more people to adopt foster children. And the point of the commercial was to say, you don't have to be special to adopt, you don't have to be rich, you don't have to be anything other than you're just average person. And so what they said was, are you afraid of spiders, dentists, and clowns? And I'm thinking, I don't think I want to be, combined with spiders and clowns. No offense to the clowns, spiders can't help anything. But if we keep putting dentists and dentistry in a category that it, in the same sentence as we when we're talking about something scary, we'll never get the children especially, and then even the adults, to stop thinking about it as a fearful event. One more instance, and this also happened about a week and a half ago. And it's a company who does market research for candidates that, would be able to answer the questions, and you have to meet a certain criteria. And so there's four questions that they want you to answer before they can determine if you would be a good candidate for this study. Now, the very first question, in fact, here's what it says. Listed below are several statements. Please read the following descriptions. Choose the one which best describes you when it comes to your oral care. Okay, question number one, or statement number one. I believe there is little that can be done to change my mouth. It scares me to go to the dentist because I may need painful and unpleasant procedures, and or I almost always have problems when I visit the dentist. I believe all oral care products are about the same in effectiveness, and I prefer to do a simple oral care routine with familiar products that comfort me when taking care of my mouth. Now, don't get me wrong, this goes on to have other questions or other statements that you could pick one, but the fact that the one that has the person being afraid of the dentist and not really wanting to go, and they're just going to, you know, what does simple oral care mean? Your finger? I mean, it's like, to me, it just sets the wrong tone. That question maybe should have been last, if at all possible. Now, I know that at my office, I don't hurt people. Neither does my associate. And there are ways of getting people numb without them feeling it. There's all kinds of things that can't be done, and I believe are being done. The problem is people that have good experiences sometimes don't necessarily speak up when the topic comes up at work. I mean, how many times have you heard somebody in your office says, oh, gee, I'm going to need a root canal, and the people that have had a bad experience all jump up and say, oh, man, let me tell you about my experience. Now, if these are your friends, I'd like to meet your enemies, because think about it. If they're really your friend and they had a bad experience, they probably should just kind of be quiet and let you have your own experience rather than going in and being all that extra nervous for no reason. Now, I think with the Hollywood thing that we talked about, not only the movies, but also on TV shows. You know, the only time I can think of a dentist being portrayed was on the Bob Newhart show, and they had his friend was a dentist, and he was a little bit of a bumbling idiot. On the other hand, there are plenty of shows that depict physicians, Marcus Welby, M.D., Ben Casey, ER, you know, General Hospital, and most recently House. And so the medical profession is romanticized, and people luckily don't go in with this fear that it's going to hurt, which is great. But my experience has been that a visit to the doctor, especially the emergency room, can be a lot worse than a visit to the dentist, especially my office. A little story about my son who was injured playing hockey, and he stoved his finger, and he had a gash on his forearm. And we went to the emergency room, and they were going to have to set this finger back into its socket and also do some stitching. And basically, you know, they were ready to start working on him just almost as soon as the doctor got in there, and I asked him if they could give him a pain pill. And they kind of looked at me like I was crazy and said, oh, he won't need it, he won't need it. But I asked for one anyway, and I said, you know, I'd really like him to have be comfortable, as comfortable as possible. And so they said, but he really won't need it. And I said, well, could you please do it? You know, it'd make me feel better. I'm sure he'll feel better. So they said, fine, and they left the room to go and get the pain pill. Well, it took a long time, about 40 minutes. No one had come in with a pill. And they finally did come in and gave him the pill, and, you know, I asked them to wait. So this morning, we're going to be covering some of these kinds of stories. When my son actually did have his treatment, and of course he felt better because he was on his pain pill. And then we also made sure that he was numb, and that they numbed up the area. So I'm going to expand on that story a little bit when we come back. And you know, there's lots of little nuances that I think we should cover. Now, just we welcome your questions. You can call us at 821-1230. You're listening to Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 WYTS.
Smile a little smile for me, Rosemary. Where's the use in crying? In a little while,
we're talking about fear of the dentist, fear of dentistry in general, possibly the pain that goes along with that. And our phone number is 821-1230, 821-1230. And you can send us an email at dentallyspeakingontalk1230@yahoo.com. dentallyspeakingontalk1230@yahoo.com. All right, so before the break, I was going into the story of my son's experience in the emergency room. And after getting this pill, this pain pill, so that his visit would be a little more pleasant, they kind of wanted to start right away. And I said, well, no, you know, it takes about 15 to 30 minutes for that medicine to work. And they also went on to say, but, you know, he doesn't really need it. And I said, well, let's please wait, you know, because I do the oral sedation in my office, and I know how long it takes. So they waited, and then they came in and said, all right, I guess it's time to go. We went ahead and numbed up his forearm there. And no sooner did the doctor set the syringe down that he picked up his material and was getting ready to stitch. And I said, well, wait a minute, you have to give it a little time to work. And he looked at me funny, and I said, believe me, I know what I'm talking about. I do this every day. So it just, I guess my point is there didn't seem to be a whole lot of attention paid to my son's comfort from this medical appointment. And yet at the dental office, I know we spend a lot of time on that. I mean, we spend a lot of time, anywhere from kind words to somebody to hold your hand to a nice, like, tiny needle with slow injections for the Novocaine. Then we can go from there to laughing gas, you know, nitrous oxide. From there we can go on up to oral sedation, where we give you some tablets to swallow. And we usually wait 30 minutes, just like I said that they weren't doing in the emergency room for that. And then if that's still not enough, we can do intravenous sedation. And sometimes they're done in a combination. But the point is that there is a way to have dentistry done and not feel it. And if you don't feel it, you probably won't be fearful. So Now, we do have those people that say, but I'm afraid of the needle, or I don't like that feeling that I get when I get numb. And, you know, my answer to that would be, first of all, it was 1846 when anesthetic was first developed. That's 162 years ago. Not that long when you'd figure there have been people on this earth for millions of years. And for us to be born at a time in that time continuum, if you look at that graph that you always see as the, you know, time is graphed from the prehistoric ages on up, to be born in that, this 162 years is like a speck on that. And we're pretty darn lucky. So we ought to just kind of realize that and, first of all, kind of be willing to put up with the numb feeling. As far as the shot, the needle, the anesthetic needle, I mean, it can be done pain-free. It can be done comfortably by using a small, small needle and doing things very, very slowly. Now, back when anesthetic was first developed by this dentist, he had come up with, you know, back, that was in the day when physicians and dentists, they all had like an area, like an apothecary, almost like a little pharmacy, and they would mix up potions and liquids and try to come up with curing agents and potions. And so it wasn't uncommon then for everybody to have their own little recipe. Well, this gentleman came up with this clear liquid that looked like water, and he discovered that when he squirted it around a tooth or next tooth, and waited a little bit, there goes that waiting again, that he could work on that person and they would not feel it. Well, word spread, as you can imagine, and his patients would go and tell their friends, and they would go to him, and then word finally, he was in a small town, word finally spread to a major town with a medical college, and the folks at the medical college invited this dentist to come and present his findings or what he had come up with for them, and he was kind of a private person. He really wasn't looking for that kind of glory, and so he declined, but people kept, the word kept spreading, basically, and they continued to ask him, are you sure you won't come and show us what you have? And so finally he relented and agreed to visit the university, and they set up a situation where he had a patient in the chair, and it was he was going to numb this person, and then he was going to go ahead and drill and do a filling. And so he did. He numbed. He waited. And about the time that he was, when he went to drill on this woman, she screamed. And the people in the audience laughed and thought that it was just, you know, this was all smoke and mirrors. There was nothing to what this guy had. And he basically went home in shame. Keep in mind, he didn't want to be there to begin with, but that's what happened. So what happened because of that is there was another, he went back and just kept using the material, and his patients swore by it, and they kept telling their friends, and their friends kept telling their friends, and the people at the university felt like, you know, there must be something to this. Maybe we should have him back again, because we keep hearing how wonderful this stuff is. It didn't work when he was at our office, but there must be something to this. Well, of course, this time when they asked him, he definitely didn't want to come back because he felt like they had, you know, he'd been a little bit mistreated, misunderstood. But after about 2 years of being asked, he eventually relented, and he went back. They set up a similar experiment, and this time when he squirted that watery material next to the person's tooth and worked on them, they never felt a thing. They just didn't feel it. And so that was the beginning of when local anesthetic would become available to the rest of us. Well, why did I tell that story? I told that story because there's such a thing as individual variation, meaning we all know that like a drug that I might take might affect you a little differently. The same goes for local anesthetic. So I have patients that take longer than others to get numb. I have some people who get numb instantly, and within 10 minutes it's worn off. And then I have others that are normal, of course, what we would consider you numb them. You wait a couple minutes and they stay numb for 3 hours. And so basically, what you have to do, or what the dentist has to do, is figure out just where are you on that scale. And I believe that this is why there are so many adults that fear the dental visits, their dentist, is because the dentist, and maybe themselves, they haven't yet figured out, are they one of those people that needs to have it done, like, numb me up and go right now? Don't wait. Or are they one of those people that say, numb me, come back in a half hour, and I'll be numb? And several of my patients have walked in the door and told me, you're going to have to give me extra. I'm going to come early because I want you to numb me, and I want to be able to wait for about 20 minutes because that's how long it seems to take in me. So if you can do that, well, first of all, you have to get your nerve up to come to the office or an office. Then you'll see what I mean, and you'll be able to have a dental appointment successfully. Now, currently, about 40% of the adult population in this country does not seek dental care on a regular basis. And I believe that it's this fact, it's this fear of dentists, fear of dentistry, the feeling that it's going to be painful, is what is keeping these people away. So, if you're listening, and you think that you're one of those people, and you want to, you know, hear a little bit about how you know, it might work for you, feel free to give us a call. Our phone number is 821-1230. That's 821-1230. We're going to kind of expand a little bit on the kinds of things, the other things that are working out there in dentistry and working a little bit against us. This feeling about, is it the dentistry that hurts or just the perception that's been passed down from parent to child? And also, this the part about, you know, if you neglect your teeth because you're afraid, then when you finally do go in, you happen to need so much work that it kind of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, because now you need the things that are somewhat unpleasant. And a root canal would be an example, or an extraction would be an example. And I say somewhat on purpose, because in most cases, the people don't feel those either, period. If you're numb, you're numb. It doesn't matter what we're doing. We could be doing a root canal, we could be doing a filling, we could be doing an extraction. If you're numb, you're not going to feel it. So if you're afraid, then you stay away. And then when you come in, you have this painful tooth, you have painful gums, you have swelling, and you can have a relatively, you know, rough appointment. Even that, though, can be curtailed, because if you're one of those people that needs to be sedated somehow to get you numb, I'll explain when we come back after the break how that works, because it is very, very doable. And I'll help you get through these dental appointments better. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko on Talk 1230 WYTS.
You're always in my heart, from early in the morning till it's dark. I gotta see your sweet, sweet smile every day. When I wake up in the morning and I see you there, I always whisper a little prayer.
You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on Talk 1230 WYTS. Before the break, we were talking about how people will stay away because they have this feeling that it's going to hurt. And then when they come into the dentist, they have these more involved procedures that are needed, like root canals and extractions and that sort of thing. So we were talking about, you know, what do we do in that case? Well, I've discovered that if you're one of those people that just doesn't know them very well, that if I give some intravenous sedation... Now, if I do that, you have to have a ride home, and we need to make sure there's going to be somebody there with you when you get home. But if I do some intravenous sedation, then all of a sudden, you're numb, and you don't feel it, and you don't remember it. And so, that's a great way to get you through it. And here's what you probably, if you're one of these people, tell me if this describes you, which is, you've kind of put off taking care of your teeth, and you get this toothache, and some of you just call up the oral surgeon. You go in and you just have the tooth extracted. Don't even go to the dentist, because you know you can't probably face that would be unpleasant, or at least you would think it would be. And so you've gone and you've had several teeth out. Usually it's the back ones first. And then what happens is there's almost like this rude awakening where one day you look in the mirror and you don't have very many teeth left. Chewing has become difficult. And, you know, smiling, typically when people come in, it's because now it's one of those front teeth kind of on the, you know, like a side that is now become visible, maybe chipping away or turning brown. And so then they'll come to see us. That doesn't mean they're no longer afraid. Doesn't mean that they don't think it's going to hurt. But they'll come and see me at about that time. So, you know what, if I could encourage people to not wait that long, that would be great. But I want to talk a little bit about how, you know, why is it that a person would be so willing to have this God-given body part removed rather than having it cured? Now, remember I said cured, not just saved, because it's a disease. You have a diseased tooth, and it needs to be cured. If If you were to go to a physician and they said, I know what your problem is. You have an infection in your baby tooth. Would you say, hey, doc, can you just cut it off? I don't really need that one, do I? I think I could probably walk just fine with nine toes. That doesn't happen, and it shouldn't happen. But then it shouldn't happen as far as your dental visits are concerned either. So if I can change the perception out there, it would be a really neat thing. Now, why does... it seems like tooth pain is the worst possible pain there is. You know, women tell me that it's worse than childbirth. It's absolutely the worst. We don't really know exactly why that is, but we do know that, you know, people have said to me, well, is it because my teeth are halfway between my heart and my brain? And I don't know for sure, but that sure does seem to make sense. I also know that when you have a toothache, there is nothing that will solve that pain except treatment. Period. It doesn't matter how many pain pills you have left over from a past surgery or some that a friend may have given you. Not that we encourage that, but we know people do it. You can take, as prescribed, you can take two, you can take three, and you just don't get the relief that you were looking for. So the only thing that will cure that is having that tooth treated. Now, in some of your mind, that always meant going in and having it extracted. And there's no doubt that taking a diseased tooth out once your gums heal will make that pain go away. But that's the beginning of a slippery slope also, because what then begins to happen is the other teeth in the arch start to collapse. Think of your teeth like an arch, a brick arch, and if you look up at a brick arch, you'll see that there's no real main support. It's just every brick is laying on the next brick, on the last brick, and so on. And it's perfectly strong, and very strong, to be honest, unless you take one brick out. And when you take one brick away, everything collapses. The whole thing falls down. Well, teeth are like those bricks in an arch, and they are very important not only to chewing, but to the adjacent teeth, the ones that they touch on either side, the side that you would do your flossing. So saving teeth is something that is very, very beneficial. It's very important. And so if you can, and it's always cheaper, by the way. It's always cheaper to save your next tooth than it is to have it removed and have a bridge or an implant or a removable partial denture. So not only is it better, but it's cheaper, which is always a good thing, right? Now, once somebody has stayed away because of the fear, I believe that after a certain period of time, they now become embarrassed. It's like, okay, I've stayed away, I know I shouldn't have, but I did. And I'm pretty sure now if I call and go in there, they're going to make fun of me or they're going to yell at me because I've been away for so long. And I can tell you that that's not the way I operate at my office. And for the dentists out there listening, I'm assuming that you don't operate that way either. And so we in the dental community want the patients to know that you can feel comfortable coming in. It's okay that it's been, 2 years, 5 years, 20 years. Because in my book, it doesn't really matter anyway. Because when you step in the office, when you walk in the door, the only thing that I can deal with is what your teeth are like right then, there, and now. Okay? We can't turn the clock back. We can't make it so that it didn't happen. If you're already missing seven teeth, you're still missing seven teeth. And for me to berate you because of what you did prior to coming to me doesn't do any good. And so, in the interest of helping people have the overall better general dental health, just kind of know that it's not going to be like you thought. It's going to be much, much better. And we have ways. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about those kinds of ways, those kinds of things I'm talking about. We're taking your calls at 821-1230. And you can email us at dentallyspeakingontalk1230@yahoo.com. So we'll be right back after the break and go take some emails.
Smiles with you.
You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko on Talk 1230 WYTS. Our phone number is 821-1230. And so today we've been talking about fear of the dentist, the fact that people think it might be painful when they get there, so much so that people stay away for a long time, sometimes decades. And so what we do before we went to the break is that when we come back, going to read a couple emails that we received. And this one is from John in Pataskala. It says, Dear Dr. Kavitko, I haven't been to a dentist in 20 years because the last time I went, I had a bad experience. I wasn't numb, and they drilled anyway. Now I need a lot of work, but I'm afraid to go. Any ideas on how I can get over my fear? I don't want to get dentures, but I'm afraid that may be my only choice soon. All right. So, see, John is exactly the kind of person that we're talking about, the kind of we're referring to. But, John, first of all, you're right. If you don't get in soon, dentures may be your only option, unless you can afford implants. The nice thing is, you see, when I went to dental school years and years ago, there was a term in dentistry that we referred to folks as a dental cripple. Of course, that was before politically correctness, and we don't even use the word cripple anymore, but that was actually in textbooks back then, a dental cripple. And what that meant was you didn't have any teeth, and you didn't have enough bone to support a denture even. So you were plain toothless. I mean, it's bad enough wearing dentures, but toothless is even worse. And let me just sidetrack for a second. When people come in and say, I just want to get my teeth out, I ask them, if you wear dentures, and I don't mean anything to the people that already wear them, because I make dentures, think I do a good job at it, but if you're considering getting a denture, and let's say you're single or you think you might be again sometime soon, my question to my patients is this. You meet somebody new, and you start dating. At what point are you going to tell this person you wear dentures? Are you going to hope they never find out? Are you going to tell them on the first date in case they want to bolt? Or are you going to just kind of go somewhere in the middle there? And if that's a concern of yours, then you probably should be saving your teeth. And if you're sitting at home because you're afraid to come in, you need to get off the chair, get off the couch, and make an appointment. Okay, so we talked about dentures, but here's the thing. If you have enough bone, these days we can put implants in. An implant is a titanium cylinder that is basically inserted right down into the jawbone itself, below the gum line. It's left there to heal. And on the upper arch for 6 months, on the lower arch for 3. And then once it's healed, you can have what's called hybrid prosthesis, which sits on those implants, is screwed onto them, and then kind of looks like a partial denture, but you don't see any clasps. You can also have several implants placed and have either bridges run from implant to implant, or you can have a single implant and a single implant crown for every tooth. Now, the more implants, the higher the price, and it can get pretty costly, although I believe that it's important to have something like that in your mouth, something to chew, something to smile with. Think about everything that our teeth do for us. They allow us to smile, which I said, to appeal to the opposite sex, of course. They allow us to chew. They allow us to speak, to phonetically pronounce our words. And, I mean, it's very, very important. If you're missing your front teeth, you can't say certain sounds. You lisp. You maybe make the S sound too hard. And so it's a little hard to be taken seriously if you're giving a speech if you keep having the S sound escape. You have to slur. So keeping in mind how important our teeth are, they're not just there, something that we maybe should pay attention to every so often. It's important then, John, that you, and I think you already understand this, is that you get into the office, get into an office, and let the dentist know that you are very fearful, that they did work on you when you weren't numb, and we talked about that earlier. I know I make a promise to my patients. Probably the best promise that I make is I tell my patients, if you tell me you feel it, I will believe you. I will stop. I will give you more anesthetic, whatever it takes. Sometimes it's more than just more local. Sometimes it's local and gas, or local and gas and oral, whatever, oral sedation, whatever it takes. But if you tell me you feel it, I stop and give you more. So, first of all, that would never happen again. And then, secondly, there's really no need for that. So, I hope that helped. And if you do need dentures, it's not the end of the world. We can make nice dentures. It's just that saving your own teeth is always, always preferable because, let's face it, it's a body part. It's a body part that was diseased, and you want to cure it, not remove it, not cut it off like, you know, the people that, you know, in my example of a baby toe. So, you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko here on Talk 1230 WYTS. When we come back from the we will have another email, and you're listening to Talk 1230 WYTS.
Keep smiling at trouble, for trouble is a bubble.
You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko on Talk 1230 WYTS. Our phone number is 821-1230. That's 821-1230. I wanted you to know that this show is available on demand at www.talk1230wyts.com in the form of a podcast. So if there's some part of the show you'd like to hear again, or you have a friend that you think might be interested in hearing today's broadcast, please pass along the address. Again, it's www.talk1230wyts. So today we've been talking about fear of the dentist, why people stay away from the dentist, and the fact that a lot of people do. And we were taking emails. The email before the break was about somebody who thought they might need dentures because they've stayed away for so long. And we have another email. This one is from Joe in West Jefferson. And it says, can dentures be whitened? Well, that's actually a very interesting question because, first of all, it's telling me what I already knew, which is people, even with dentures, want to look nice. They want to look like they have beautiful, healthy teeth, a nice white smile. And Joe, the denture cannot be whitened, though, because the only way to change a denture tooth shade would be to actually replace it. There's no, it doesn't affect, it's not affected by bleach. There's no product that we can coat them with. You know, so you can't paint on a little white coating or anything like that. And whatever we might try to put on would probably come off in the mouth anyway. And so, unfortunately, you would be then needing to get a new set. But certainly you can have a new set made that have the teeth as white as you would like them. And these days, with people bleaching their teeth, it used to be, when I first started practicing, which was back in 1980, if somebody had really white teeth, people would assume they wore dentures. Teeth are too white, must be fake. But not anymore, because of tooth whitening. In fact, I very rarely do much work on a patient unless I've already asked them if they had any plans of whitening their teeth. Because if I don't get the color, you know, if they're going to whiten them, they need to do it before we do this new work. Going to put a crown on, for example, you want it to match. So thank you for the email. And then one more, I think we have time for one more quick one. It's James in Whitehall. I want to get a gold grill, but my mom's against it. She says it will rot my teeth, but my friend says if it's done right, it'll be okay. Well, actually, your mom is right. You probably should stay away from a gold grill in the truest form of what a gold grill is, which means it's just kind of like shoved over top of the teeth, if you will. If you want to have a gold grill or some gold in your front teeth, go to a dentist. I've done this, and have gold crowns done that look, they're good clinically sound. They seal the tooth up. They protect the teeth like a real crown. They just happen to be gold. You can have jewels put in them. You can have all of the same things as a grill, but get it done by a dentist. Don't buy one on the internet or have somebody who really doesn't know what they're doing make you a gold grill. I had a patient who came in who had been wearing one for several years. He got it when he was 17, and he's now 26, and it completely rotted his upper front teeth. I mean, to the point where we thought we were going to have to do root canals on almost every one. And we were able to get his teeth to a healthy state again. It took several, several hours, long appointments. We did sedate him. But if he had waited just a little bit longer, we might have been into a situation where he would have started to lose teeth. And keep in mind, these are your front teeth. This is what people see when you walk into a room, when you smile. And I know that the grill is cool to have because that's what your fashion statement is, having that grill. But don't do it at the expense of your teeth. You can kind of have the best of both worlds. So today we've been talking about fear of dentistry, fear of the dentist, and we've talked about a few ways that you now know that you can come in and have dental appointments that are comfortable. that you shouldn't wait 20 years. But if you have, it's not the end of the world. We can still deal with it. We can make sure that whatever happened in the past stays in the past.